This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day crew, and here's another one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Good afternoon, welcome to my American Head, and this is Ben.
Hey Ben, it's Adam. How are you?
Good, mate.
Are you busy today, Ben?
Pretty quiet for a Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good.
Have you got all the comedians there, have you?
Yeah, we've got a lot of them.
Have you been sucking up to them and trying to get free tickets?
Yeah, look, we have a little bit. I've got a couple, but all the big ones we don't seem to be able to get. We get the nobodies.
Oh.
So who's they're entertaining on it less in the foyer here.
So who's a nobody?
Look, and if I could remember their names, I would. Hello?
David, it's Adam, Ginny and the Bish from the Hump Day crew. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, Adam. Yeah.
What are you up to this Good Friday?
I am contemplating the Lord. No, I'm not doing any of that at all. I'm doing a kids' show at the moment by day and a grown-up show by night. So the kids' show is I'm doing it with Maeve Higgins, who's... I think she's been on your show, and we were in bed at the start of the show, and we can't get to sleep, and the audience tell us how to get to sleep, and whatever they suggest, we try.
And what about the children's show? Is that different?
Actually, it has happened, because the grown-up show has been sold out, and I guess someone rings up the festival and goes, "We got tickets for David Arty," and they go, "Okay." So you get these strange sort of groups of, like, five dudes in their early 50s, all holding 3 beers each, who walk in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and see 100 kids and 2 people in bed and go, "Well, this looks quite avant-garde.
This is a little bit different." You're enjoying your time here at the moment, then. You're hanging out with other comedians?
Yeah, I'm having a nice time. I'm hanging out with, Maeve Higgins, Josie Long is around as well. A lot of my buddies that I see in Edinburgh and at those festivals. And then some people who are based here. I've been hanging out with Jesse Griffin, who does Wilson Dixon, which is one of my favourite shows at the festival this year. Yeah, it's great here.
So you get to combine your holiday a little bit with your job?
Yeah.
Meet up with your friends?
This is pure work right here. This is my executive lifestyle.
David, I've just got to double check to make sure you haven't been slacking off. When I spoke to you last year, you were working on a panda book.
Well, yes.
How's the panda book going?
The panda book, 100 Facts About Pandas by David Arty and Claudia Arty, is coming out in 3 months' time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's. I think everyone secretly wants to be David Attenborough, but the two things holding me back is I don't know anything about animals, and I'm quite scared of most animals. So we decided instead we just try and make up facts about animals that sound like they're true, and then we have a friend who's a genius of Photoshop, and he just makes whatever rubbish you've come up with a reality. So it's Random House have taken it on now, and it's coming out. So we're very, very excited.
That's brilliant news. So tell us, what is your favourite panda fact?
Well, my favourite made-up panda fact. If you shave a panda and weave the fabric into a fur, that fabric is bulletproof. And the Shanghai police force have been wearing bulletproof panda fur vests for the last 20 years, and they use the shaved pandas as sniffer pandas, and they sniff out drugs. Now, our friend has done this incredible picture of what a panda fur bulletproof vest would look like, a sort of a beautiful black and white kind of an affair. And, it's going to confuse a lot of people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If your gran were to see this book, she would, wow, I never knew that about pandas.
But it sounds quite believable.
It
in a strange sort of way.
But that's the problem of having a photo. I mean, I think we're all just so gullible. It's like when you read something in a celebrity news magazine, you immediately just go, oh, that's fascinating, whereas it's complete rubbish.
Maybe President Obama would be interested in that fact, because I know there's high security around him all the time. So maybe he needs a panda jacket.
Well, one of our facts, it's funny because you go and then on the internet and you just try and find photos of people with pandas that we could use or doctor. And one of our facts was that, panda fur has other uses. It's also, it was used in the tennis racket that Bjorn Borg won Wimbledon in. And it was a panda fur tie that saved Ronald Reagan's life when he was shot by an assassin in 1980. And then we went onto the internet, and one of the first pictures we found was a picture of Nancy Reagan, Ronald Reagan's wife, with a baby panda. So obviously that is the panda that saved her husband's life. So there's another fact.
With the global financial crisis at the moment getting very, very serious, I believe a couple of years ago you did a TV show called The Modest Adventures of David O'Doherty.
Yeah.
And in one of those episodes, you had different ways of trying to make your rent. Now, I know there's a lot of people around the world at the moment probably struggling to pay their rent. What are some of your ideas of how to make your rent?
Well, it wasn't entirely successful. I tried to just sell things from my house on eBay, and that didn't work. By lying about how great they were, that swivel chair saying it was antique, that kind of thing. I tried them. I tried busking. I'd never done busking before, and that is a thankless job. So I made €6 busking, and then put it all on a long shot at a dog race, and that dog came in not only last, but last by, I'd say, twice the distance of any other dog. So,
had three legs.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't entirely successful, that one.
You made €6. How long were you busking for?
Oh, I was busking for about, my goodness, I was busking for about 4 hours as well. But in the end, I started doing covers because no one sort of waits long enough. You know when you see a busker doing their original material?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I tried to think of songs that would, but I mean, the big songs that earn you money busking are like, well, in Dublin, it's like U2 covers. So you get tourist money, or like The Drugs Don't Work by Verve or one of those sort of songs. But I didn't know any. So the best I could do was, I had I'm Never Gonna Dance Again, My Guilt. 2 feet, that Wham song, Careless Whisper.
Yeah, Careless Whisper, that's it.
I did that, I would say, 15 times in a row. And that's what earned me most of
it. And you got an average of less than €2 an hour. So that's not bad. Move over, George Michael. Here comes David.
He wasn't in toilet cubicles, was he?
Who, David or Michael?
Well, George was.
Oh, you never know. You never know.
Oh, my goodness.
David, I believe another thing you used to do a long, long time ago, you used to work as a professional telemarketer, ringing up strangers and asking them to rate things out of 10.
Yes, I did. It's a very good job to have if you have a burning passion, because you spend most of your day going, is there anything else in the world I could do that doesn't involve asking people to rate washing powder out of 10? It's funny because I did it for about, on and off for about 6 months, but I still remember every word of every one of those tests that you used to have to do you use bold washing? How would you rate your bold out of 10, where 1 is very disappointing and 10 is excellent. You know, as if people have thought about this beforehand and gone, this washing powder I'm giving 7.5 to.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
So it was, I think that was the absolute low point of my employment career. And then after that just started. Well, I'd written a children's book before that, so I knew that I wanted to do something because I'd done a lot of readings for kids. So I knew that I wanted to do something that was slightly more interesting than telemarketing. And I guess that's how this children's show came about. And then, I mean, my adult stuff is just really, it's a kids show that you just don't tell the audience that they're it's not meant for them. So that's the secret of my success.
Well, David, on behalf of all the people that you annoyed and rung up, we're actually going to give you a few things, and we want you to rate them out of 10.
Brilliant.
Okay, we're going to start with an easy one. Australia.
Oh, pressure's on, washing powder.
There we go, David. Know your audience.
Well, I spend most of the time in Australia in the bottom right-hand corner of it, in Melbourne and Sydney. And, you know, I like these parts of it very much. But, you know, who knows what goes on in Broome and Margaret River and Esperance and all these places.
A lot of loving goes on up there, I'd imagine.
Okay, we'll go for an 8 then. We'll go for a good old Aussie 8.
Okay, 8 out of 10 for Australia. What about beer?
I mean, I'm not a huge boozer. I'm a very bad drinker. I think the problem with me and booze is that when I do drink, I just spend any money that I have access to. I become incredibly decadent. I become like the king of Norway or something for the whole night. And so I'm giving beer, I'd say, 3.
Are you sure you're from Ireland?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Where's your bloodline?
I drink Milo a lot while I'm here, which is another plus that Australia has. So we don't get Milo at home. It's delicious.
What about the famous Vegemite then?
Get lost. I'll have Golden Gay times in Milo. That is the...
So it's minus numbers for veggie.
Australia has to offer. No way. Peanut butter's fine.
What about looking at your website, David? Neat handwriting.
What is being referred to here is davidatardy.com, which I made in 25 minutes using a basic Microsoft Paint program. And I am very proud of it as a website. I've had a bit of a set to with David O'Doherty, the mathematician who runs davidodoherty.net, because he was disappointed when I got davidodoherty.com, and he wrote a blog about how annoyed he was that david@davidardy.com. So after one of my gigs in Dublin a while ago, I told everyone to email him at david@davidardy.net and tell them that they had enjoyed his gig, and he got very angry about that. So I don't know where this war of the David at Ardy's is going to go next. Listeners are also allowed to do this. There's a Wikipedia page that someone has made of me, but I like the idea that everyone is invited just to make up rubbish and put it on the Wikipedia page, because it just livens up interviews. Not well-researched interviews like this one, but if I do an interview on, like, New Jersey local radio or whatever when I'm in America, and they just have the Wikipedia page open in front of me, and they just pick up facts that are obviously made up and ask me about them, it makes it so entertaining. I did a radio interview recently in Alice Springs, and the first thing was, David, what was it like growing up with a father who's a matador? That makes for an excellent radio interview.
David, what can we expect for your show this year at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival?
Well, I've got a tiny keyboard with me. I've got a Yamaha Portasound PSS-260.
Nice. That's a lovely piece of kit.
For $5.
Hold on. You had two last year. Is the global financial crisis affecting your show?
Excess baggage has... Jetstar have finally got their way. I can't afford to bring all the ones. No, this year I've just... I really do like this keyboard. I got it on eBay for next to nothing. There's always a tragedy with these keyboards, because you generally get them on eBay or pawn shops, and it's just the sadness of pawn shops generally that I think possibly if you hit hard drugs, you look around your flat, the very first thing you decide to sell is your tiny keyboard. It's like I'm giving these keyboards a new lease of life, I'm like a foster parent to them, and this one's covering the whole thing. And apart from that, the show is very hard to describe it in any way that makes it sound interesting. I sometimes I stand up, sometimes I sit down, sometimes I take a drink from a bottle of water. That's really it.
And have you got the professional introduction voiceover guy at the start of your show this year again?
I have me standing beside a curtain making up facts about myself. Yeah.
That's often the way.
Ladies,
we like that.
Gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the star of High School Musical 6, the inventor of the iPhone. That's me. Yeah.
Well, David, your show's called Let's Comedy. It's playing at the Hi-Fi Bar, 125 Swanson Street.
So there is a guy working in the reception at your hotel named Ben.
Yep.
Now, we were talking to him before he put us through to you.
Yep.
We asked him if he'd been to see any of the comedians that were staying in the hotel, and he says, I haven't been to see any of the big names, but I've been to see a lot of nobodies. And he couldn't actually list the nobodies, but we want you to go down and give him a bit of hassle later and say, I'm David O'Doherty, and I believe you called me a nobody. He probably hasn't seen your show, but we just want to make his... Yeah, torture him a little bit for us.
Wow, Ben, you're gonna get it right there. Yeah. I'm gonna just keep ringing down and ask him to bring up random.
Yes.
I need more UHT milk. And then he brings it, I'm just gonna pour in his face.
Well, thanks very much for your time today, David.
Pleasure, you guys. Thank you. Anytime.
Hey, this is Ads from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for listening to another one of our podcasts, and thank you for supporting the Hump Day Crew and Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.